The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Fearless Friday with Jeff Parry.
He's back in the studio after a couple of weeks of sick leave. You're crook.
I was sick, yes. It was just one of these massive man colds that we get.
You know, there's a bad case of it going around this year. Don't diminish it. People are getting really, really sick.
Well, my colleague Jessica Page has had it twice. We think we've been infecting each other in the office. I mean, we've been wearing masks and all that sort of stuff. And it's just really, it's one of those ones you just got to take yourself home and let it run its course. But yeah, I had a few days off and tried to get back to work, and then I just had to leave for a while. And
had you had the flu vaccine?
I had the flu vaccine. Yeah, so it was only a cold. It was a bit. It was a bit rough, and probably rougher than a normal cold is. But and that's not saying I've got man flu or anything. So had a COVID test, which you normally do.
I was talking to an expert yesterday, off the record, who said that the flu vaccine's, maybe certainly not the same level of efficacy as we're seeing from the COVID vaccine.
No, no. I mean, I don't think it was the. I had flu last year. Really had a shocking dose of it. I had a COVID test, and it actually came back and told me what strain of flu it was. So, anyway, I mean, it's going around, and as you say, I mean, I think it's just probably a bit meaner this time. Maybe people are a bit more run down. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you survived. That's the important thing. Did it give you a chance to watch some of the Olympics?
Yeah, probably more than I was expecting. I've been back at work all of this week, so we've got massive screens around the office.
You can't miss it.
Across the other side of this floor. And I got one sitting just above my desk. So and because the timing's fantastic, for our part of the world. So I saw all the rowing gold. Jessica Fox.
How great was that?
Loss and eventual win. She cried both times.
Yeah,
I mean, got to make up her mind. but good on her. She's fantastic. And all the other ones that are sort of come and gone. It's just on. I'm not a massive sports fan. I'm still conflicted. I don't know why skateboarding is in the Olympics. And of course now children can win gold medals. I mean, what a great thing for when you go back to school. Oh, what did you do for show and tell? Oh, I've got a gold medal.
Exactly. How do you spend your school holidays?
Man, really?
Aren't there kids doing gymnastics as well?
Though? Oh, well, there are. Yeah, I suppose there are. Yeah, but there are. But, I mean, other sort of sports like, tennis, should that really be their goal? People who hold these views.
Well, surfing is an interesting one because I've spoken to plenty of surfers who you'd think, how stoked are they that their sport's getting recognised? They say the opposite. They say because every surf event in the world, on the World Surfing Tour, is picked based on where the waves are good, whereas the Olympics... That's a side issue.
You take what you get.
And what happens if you're playing in the Olympics in a country that's landlocked in the middle of Europe?
I don't know what you do. I have it.
Wave park, maybe.
Wherever. But, some of these sports... I've always had this theory that the Olympics are sort of... that grew out of, like Greece where, it was all military. You'd run to Sparta, so they had, marathon.
Throw a spear.
Throw a spear. Got archery. You ride your horses and all that sort of stuff. And so, no one ever turned up to war with a tennis racket
a golf stick. Didn't they compete in the nude as well?
I don't think we're going to... Well, I don't think it's going to return to that somehow. But yes, I'm assuming they did. I mean, even to like... They actually got rid of it. Horse polo. So where they'd bat around the infidels' heads with a stick, out on the open field. I mean, they knocked that on the head back in 1936, apparently.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it was because the popularity of the sport diminished, and you get golf. People make a.
I haven't watched any of the golf. I've got to be honest with you. I've had zero interest in the golf.
Oh no, I'm the same.
And the tennis as well. Not that I like watching tennis, but for whatever reason, I just can't get into it in the Olympics.
I like. My favourite sports. I mean, swimming's always good
What's
to watch.
What's been the sport that surprised you?
10-metre air pistol. and because the technology these days, it doesn't actually. I know you watch them, and they put a pellet in the air pistol, and then you've got a split screen, and you've got the target, and then but it looks like it's electronically generated where the target. Where it hits the target. You don't actually see it penetrating the target, and it's just like, it's a bit mindless, really. You just sort of load it up, single shot, air pistol, bang.
And they're so accurate, right?
Well, they're so accurate. It's like an 8-1, and then there's an 8-3, and it looks like it's in the same spot on the thing, but it's, you know, it's something. How is that a 9-2?
Yeah, so you know, you become addicted to it.
And the and with the rifles, the air rifles, you know, I mean, that just looks odd.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever seen
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it is awkward. Weird.
But I like the archery. I like those
archery
sorts of sports.
Been good.
Weightlifting, I really like. I just think it's.
Did you see the Filipino female lifter win the first
brilliant.
Gold for that country?
Yeah, 96 kilos or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. So, I mean, there's something there for everyone, isn't there, Ben?
Sure is. And with 45 channels to choose from across the various Channel 7 platforms,
and
there
you
literally
know,
is.
Yeah, and you know what I like? Well, of course, you just multi-channels everywhere. You go online and pick your sport
almost,
and you can watch.
Almost too many, if I'm being honest. I find myself, it's a bit like Netflix, you know? Like, you start watching something and after a couple of minutes you go, oh, you know what? I'm not sure if I'm actually into skeet shooting. Maybe I'm going to give K1 a go. It's like, yeah, K1, yeah, maybe it's not as interesting as I thought.
I did like what Matt Shervington said about, you know, the performances of these athletes in this time of the, you know, of the pandemic and the way, you know, where everyone is in the world and that sort of thing, that how uplifting it's been for a lot of people because a lot of, I mean, more uplifting than the performance of our politicians. I mean, you know, we've got to look somewhere. So let's look to our athletes because they're actually doing something, you know, pretty special.
Definitely.
And while it's only for, you know, two and a half weeks of the year or every 4 years, I mean, we're getting something out of them.
And you know what
Polly's not so sure.
Do you know what the coverage highlights for me? So talking about, you know, like this idea of Netflix and, you know, like the difference between that and broadcast television, right? Like really sums up where society is at the moment. Like you've got this unlimited choice. People seem to want to gravitate towards that, whether it's Netflix or Spotify or whatever, you know, like they want to be their own boss. Do it when they want to do it. Watch what they want to watch. They don't want to be told by, you know, a programmer or, you know, someone who does schedules of TV or whatever. But I tell you, there is something to be said for that, to know that there is someone who's looking across all of the events going, okay, this one is going to be the most exciting, this one is going to have the best result, and then you're getting that kind of curated version so you don't miss anything, you don't miss the best bits. I miss so many like gold medal moments because I've been flicking between the 45 channels.
But the other thing too is, and this is where it's come along, is that you remember, you know, like you go back 3 or 4 Olympics when there were limited channels that you could actually broadcast on. So you'd miss a lot, not just miss them because you're looking at something else, it's because you never saw them.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know, well,
those niche events.
That's correct. But also for some of the bigger events like swimming, the Australians would sort of, you know, we'd concentrate ours. The Americans were notorious. I mean, they wouldn't care about an Australian gold medal. All they cared about was the, you know, so they would NBC would concentrate on their stuff. Now, they, you know, it just comes in these massive feeds and they send it out on, you know, on all their channels. I mean, you know, the channels of 7, you know, like are 107. They're just channels. It's just like massive, massive, you know, and it's fantastic.
And the ratings have been great because most of the East Coast is in lockdown. And so I can give you right now the latest news from New South Wales. They've just announced they had 170 new cases today. So that's less than yesterday's 239 odd, which is positive, I guess. At least 42 were infectious in the community, but it could have been as many as 90 infectious in the community.
I'm waiting to see what comes out of this protest they had, you know, when they had 15,000 marching down George Street in Sydney, when those numbers might hit, if they're going to hit at all. I mean, you know,
all it would have taken is one or two people in that crowd to have the Delta variant.
Yeah, and then they've not just gone back, you know, to the southwest, they've gone to the northwest, they've gone to the northern suburbs, they've gone to the, you know, to the Southern Shire, you know, they've gone everywhere and taken it with them. So not sure when those numbers, if they've predicted when those numbers might come into it, if they do, they don't.
Well, I spoke to a couple of medical experts yesterday. They weren't epidemiologists, but, you know,
everyone's an epidemiologist
but they were, you know, they were health professionals. One said he didn't think that New South Wales would get on top of it. He thought the horse had bolted and now they're always going to have COVID in their community. And the other one said, not before Christmas. So both pretty grim predictions.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, you know, and the political fallout for Gladys and for the Prime Minister, you know, just they're being watched, you know, sort of by the minute, aren't they, for their reactions and their different reactions. And I mean, you talk to most people over here and they just sort of, they're incredulous at what they call a lockdown or, you know, a full lockdown in New South Wales. I mean, it's just, you know, there's lockdowns in part of Sydney, but but it's not a lockdown like we know it, or it's not a lockdown like Victorians know it, or even South Australians, you know. I mean, it's a lockdown as a full crack at it, whereas they seem to think in New South Wales that, that you know, what they're doing is a full lockdown.
It's a mockdown.
Yeah, it's not. It is a mockdown. It's certainly not a lockdown. And now, of course, Mr. Morrison's an absolute champion of lockdown, where before he wasn't, you know. So,
well, how much has all of this, do you reckon, impacted ScoMo, and how much will it hurt him at the ballot box? Because he's thrown his lot in with Gladys famously over and over again, and now it seems that he's walking back that support a little bit.
Well, the results. I was reading Mark Riley's column in the West Australian today, how the Morrison was making a point continuously that he wasn't criticising Gladys Berejiklian. No one was accepting that. He was certainly criticising because he was so in the corner about no lockdowns, and now he's in the corner of, well, we've got to have a full lockdown. It's hurt him. It's certainly hurt him in the opinion polls. They are very sensitive to that. He cannot shake that he's a reactive politician. He's just going to go whichever way the wind blows.
Yeah.
He's not alone among politicians. That's true. But he just, you know, obviously in the hope that it'll blow him over the line. So, but he's certainly struggling in the respect stakes in terms of how he's handled this, and he has to get on top of that before the next election.
Well, he said that. Everyone in Australia who wants the vaccine will be vaccinated by the end of the year. The Grattan Institute has come out with some modelling that said they reckon 80% could be vaccinated by next March. If you say the Grattan, if you bank on their numbers, that's, you know, next March is getting pretty close to when a federal election might be. That would be a pretty bad result for Scott Morrison.
Yeah. He just has to get on top of it. Mistakes aren't sort of, we had a recent mistake where everyone was just scratching their head here in WA. I mean, the second lift incident should never have happened, but they put that down to technology and that the program on the lift failed. Worse than that is the fact that they were two unvaccinated health workers. I mean, you know, for crying out loud, why? I mean, I understand mistakes happen. You know, there's always little things that fall through the cracks, but you just can't help scratching your head, because I think now they're saying what, 1 in 5 frontline health workers aren't vaccinated.
Yeah.
How is that allowed to happen?
Yeah, I know. And this goes back to, you know, Ataki's initial advice was that it shouldn't be mandatory for health workers. And they initially said it also shouldn't be mandatory for aged care workers. And then that was overruled by the Morrison government and said, no, it's going to be mandatory for aged care. Surely we're at that point where it's got to be, at the very least, in hospitals where they treat people with COVID.
Because doesn't common sense just dictate that should be the case?
I know.
And I just also can't understand the hesitancy of some medical workers who should know better.
Yeah.
That they don't get vaccinated. And I mean, just take your body off to we should be vaccinated in the hospital. Well, okay, if you're not, then go to a vaccination centre and get one.
Yeah.
You know, ridiculous. I mean, take a bit of responsibility.
And I think people don't realise, I guess, just how tough it is for Morrison now. So on one hand, you know, if he doesn't kind of offer some sort of a rebuke of Gladys, the rest of the country thinks he's an idiot. And so that hurts his popularity with the rest of the country. If he bags Gladys too much, that'll hurt him in New South Wales. And so he needs New South Wales to vote for him. He needs the rest of the country to vote for him if he's going to...
Well, that's his home state. He needs to perform in his home state. But, you know, he's Victoria seemed to be very happy with the way Dan Andrews has reacted. Certainly, Mark McGowan here is still very popular for the way that he's reacted. And I mean, it is, I think everyone would accept, it's easier for him because it's much easier to close down our state. We don't have sort of these massive borders. And if you don't let anyone in, well, you know, now they're just coming in by ship. But, you know, the other, Queensland, of course, has big border with New South Wales, and so does Victoria. It's a much bigger effort for them to keep the disease out, even if they lock themselves down. And because a lot of the problems of people like the removalists who got off lightly, I think, all these people who try and do border runs and are able to get through sometimes and take the disease into, you know, up to the Gold Coast or whatever they've done, you know, so it's much easier for McGowan, but he's very, very popular for the stance that he's taken. Morrison, it just seems to have mangled it.
Well, based on what we've seen from McGowan so far this pandemic, If you had to predict how low the case numbers had to get in New South Wales every day for McGowan to even partially reopen the border, what would you reckon?
That he would do?
Yeah.
Oh, he will want zero.
Zero. So do you know how long it's going to take for Sydney to get to zero? He's erasing a huge part of the country from Western Australia.
But, you know, having said that, I mean, it'll certainly take a mind shift for the WA government, the health authorities here. But, you know, everyone's talking about the vaccines is going to be the saviour of all this. Once we get the vaccines, we get, you know, up to whatever it is, 80% or whatever they're going to nominate next week, whatever that number is, and that will allow us to live with COVID in the community. But you know, our health authorities here in WA have to be willing for COVID to be circulating around the community, which will cause people to get sick and go into hospitals. The saving grace, we think, is that, or everyone thinks, the medical people think that the effect of the disease back, you know, when we've got herd immunity will be much less than, you know, with unvaccinated population.
So many unknowns
and we've got no real guidance from, I mean, the premier says the vaccines will save us all, like all the other premiers say, but that means he's also
going to have got 60% of health workers vaccinated.
That's right, but it also means he has to accept that the virus will be circulating in the community as well.